Last December, before Christmas, I was having dinner with two lawyer friends, and one is a person who's considering giving up her practice and was thinking of moving to Boston, at least part-time, to be near her grandchildren. She was enticed by her son to make the move, at least part-time. So she said she went looking for an apartment in Boston beginning in October, and by November she stopped the search because she said, "I don't do dark." I was in Maine in November. It got dark at 4 o'clock. And I pressed the Uber button and it said, "See you in the spring." The image of light brims over again and again in tonight's liturgy, as it has since Christmas. People who walked in darkness have seen a great light. This week, the presentation feast, Jesus coming to the temple and Simeon saying, "A light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Light. But tonight's readings are slightly different. It's not only that we have light, but that we become light for others by our good deeds. How can that be? Elizabeth Barron Browning would say, "Let me count the ways. Let me count three ways that we might be light for each other out of the playbook, not of the Patriots or the Falcons, but of Pope Francis, a Pope and a Jesuit. Can't go wrong here, can I?" Number one is about food, is what that first reading is about. A year and a half ago, Pope Francis's encyclical on the environment said, "One third of the food that is produced in this world is thrown away, while one fifth of the children in our world go to bed hungry. A complete disgrace. We have the food, it's caught up in politics. What we need to do is to be among the thousand points of light who write to our congresspeople the next time food stamps and farm bills come up for debate. We ought not have one without the other." And then it's not just the charity of giving to others, but the Pope since John Paul II have upped the ante and said, "It is not charity, it's justice." ...1987, 30 years ago, on this weekend, I was preaching in a parish in Silver Spring, Maryland, about this very same text from Isaiah, about justice and the economy. I thought I was topical, but the bishop's 1986 document, I was there. In the fourth pew, there was Mr. Quinn. He was not there. Did not like the word justice. Halfway through, I began to get this in the fourth row. I can see you, by the way. Two-thirds of the way through, I got this. I knew I was in trouble with the Nielsen ratings. At the end of the Mass, Mr. Quinn said to me, "Father, we don't mind the bishop speaking out, but we mind what they say." Sometimes we don't want to hear a pope or a bishop reminding us that these are life issues and we have to be light for each other. Number two, accompaniment. Pope Francis speaks again and again about accompanying others, that we are the face of God to them and they are the face of God to us. Poverty has a face, he said. Poverty has bodies. Poverty has families in its grip. And he said, "Don't just collect the food, but look at the poor you serve. Because that's where Christ is today." He said that in a document not too long ago about family life called Amoris Laetitiae. And people are grumbling about how compassionate should we be. What do you mean? As compassionate as we can be to couples who've been abused, have been taken advantage of in their marriages, accompanying them in their brokenness. No one chooses to be in those relationships. But Francis says to accompany, to be compassionate. Sometimes physically, and yes, my friends, sometimes with our machines. We've all got them. 2 years ago this week, I began getting chemotherapy for leukemia. Two things I learned during that time. One was the value of homemade soup. And the second thing was the number of people who could leave messages even when I was not able to reply. It makes all the difference in the world. How about if you and I decided that from now on, twice a day we would text somebody whom we know to be alone, hurting, isolating. Sometimes it's not 1,000 points of light. Sometimes it's the flicker of a message on your cell phone to accompany. And the third thing is the stranger. Pope Francis has been trying to consolidate Vatican offices to make them more efficient, to trim down the bureaucracy. He put one together about 9 months ago, and it's called now the Council for Integral Development. And he consolidated justice and peace and a number of offices. But the one he did not consolidate was the office on refugees. He kept that to himself. Why? Because of the enormous crisis about refugees in our world. And the Pope spoke immediately upon becoming the Pope in July of 2013. He went to Lampedusa for a mass to celebrate where people come from Africa to Europe for the first time. And after that mass, the people of Lampedusa gave him a photo album, black and white photographs. 25 are refugees in rickety, rickety boats, smiling, arriving in Lampedusa for the opening of their new life. And then 25 photographs of people dead in the boats who didn't make it. And the Pope said this should never happen again. Now some will say it's not my problem. But the Pope says it is our problem. Because ever since Genesis 4 and God talked to Cain, the question is not, am I brother's keeper? It's, am I my brother's brother and my sister's sister? And we do this to others not because they're Catholic, but because we're Catholic. Food, accompaniment, the stranger. That's how we are light for each other and salt for the earth. We come to the altar in our hunger for spiritual food. So nourished at this altar, we can be light for one another, Christ bearers to one another. By the way, my friend did not buy the co-op in Boston. She gets there rather regularly, and she brings them home as often as she can. She doesn't do dark, but she's more than 1,000 points of light to those who rely upon her. Who are we? Light for those in darkness.